Hey, open up your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read to you verses 18 and 19, and I'd like you to follow along carefully here. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 18. Paul writes, and this is after his well-known section on spiritual warfare, the whole armor of God, that holds. It's right after that, he starts here at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I find my heart very stirred and encouraged by these words from the Apostle Paul here, because I understand this, that Paul was a missionary. You know, he was a great missionary. We only know his story pretty much from the book of Acts. Maybe there were other missionaries who did what Paul did in the first century, but whatever they were, we don't know much about them. But this is what we do know. Paul was a great missionary of the first century, and here he is asking the Ephesians, you saw it there, right there in verse 19, where he said, pray for me. I'm doing a work for the Lord. Pray for me. It's a reminder to me and to all of us how important it is for us to pray for our missionaries. And I can tell you, as somebody who served on the foreign field, my wife Inga Lil and myself, for more than 7 years, I can tell you how important it is for you, for us, to pray for our missionaries and their work. You know, most of all, during those 7 years of blessed, fruitful, and what I believe was effective service there in Europe, where we really feel we accomplished what God wanted us to do, I know that it happened because people were praying for us. I can't tell you how many times that we would meet people and they'd tell us, we're praying for you. And when they said that, it was as if God whispered something to me. It's as if I heard the words right there on my mind, as if God were speaking to me and saying, it's because people are praying for you that your ministry is being blessed. Now, I believe that that was true in a very general sense, that there was a very general sense of fruitfulness and effectiveness and blessedness on the work we did in Europe because people were praying. But it was also true on many specific occasions, because there are many specific occasions where we had to sound the prayer alarm. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where the missionary puts it out on Facebook or other social media or in a newsletter or through telephone calls or an email list or something like that. Hey, pray for this. And time again, God did great things. I think about the time when we lost a student in Rome. Not a good place to lose a student. Now, this student was off doing a tourist thing for a weekend, and, you know, we've sent the students out, and they are allowed to do that kind of thing. But this student, poor, innocent young guy as he was, not knowing too much about travel, he just got lost in Rome. We rang the prayer alarm, and God answered, and that man, well, he was rescued, that young man. I mean, and he was saved, spared from any great harm. I think about times before a semester when we desperately needed teachers. Oh, how we needed teachers for the upcoming semester. We sounded the prayer alarm. God's people prayed and teachers were provided. I think about times when we just sensed that there was a need for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You sound the prayer alarm and God sent a wonderful sending of the Spirit. I think about times when provision for our family was necessary, or we needed guidance for our children's education. We sounded the prayer alarm and God answered. I think about one specific incident of provision. Not long after we got there, we realized that we needed cars. We needed some automobiles to do what we were supposed to do there, not only there in the city we were at in Germany, but God called us to minister in a lot of the different cities and countries and communities around. We needed cars. Matter of fact, we needed two cars. And that felt selfish as missionaries to pray not just for a car, but for two cars. And so we asked people to pray, oh, please pray that God would provide. And you know what? God provided us a car. We just got a wonderful deal. There was a man in the church family who owned an auto dealership, and we worked out something great. Okay, great. We'll take the step of faith. We'll buy a car. Okay, God, yes, you met this need for a car. And the very next day, somebody gave us the second car we needed. It was beautiful. It's as if God is just, I will answer prayers. Go forward and see what God does. And then when it comes to answering prayer, I think about all the things that didn't happen. I mean, really, when people are praying for you, God protects you. God preserves you. And there were many blessed things that didn't happen. Over all the travel we did, over Germany, over Europe, driving all those hundreds and thousands even of kilometers on the Autobahn, driving so fast, no serious traffic accidents ever. Not a single traffic accident. What a blessing. All right, once I got my license suspended for a month, but no accidents. And then no serious illness, no debilitating conflict, so on and so on. We knew that the ministry was sustained by prayer. As a matter of fact, when Ingalil and I, when we encounter missionaries today who are having a very tough time, maybe their ministry is joyless. Maybe there's lots of conflict. Maybe there's lots of depression or financial problems, or there's family strife and all the rest. We wonder how strong their prayer support is. Now, I wouldn't automatically say that the problem is a lack of prayer support, but I wouldn't be quick to say that it isn't the problem. I'd say, let's sound the prayer alarm and see what God does. And the way that Paul wrote this in this passage that we're looking at, it's very clear. Prayer is important for missionaries. If prayer was important for Paul as a missionary, it's important for everybody here. It's important for all the missionaries that are represented by these flags and these posters. You see all around the room, missionaries that are connected with this congregation. So let's just take a very quick look in the few minutes ahead of us and take a look at some things that this passage, especially verse 18, has to tell us about prayer. First of all, it tells us this, that we should be praying at all times. Right? That's at the very beginning of the verse. He says, praying always. Always means at all times. Now look, I hope that you have a time of the day when you're just praying and all the other distractions are shut out. You're in your prayer closet, so to speak. You give God a part of that time and no other distractions. And that's great. Do that every day. But in addition to that, be praying all the time, right? Be praying when you're driving. Be praying when you're doing this. Be praying when you're doing that. You need to display your reliance upon God by prayer. You know, Jesus is one of the most important and striking examples of this vital need for prayer. You can't help but notice how often he prayed over and over again, and it's especially evident in the Gospel of Luke. And remember the whole context of this passage here in Ephesians chapter 6. The context is spiritual warfare. You're in a spiritual battle and you fight through prayer. You know, you have the armor of God on, but you can have the whole armor of God on and not do any real fighting. You do the fighting through prayer. And so get in there. And how often do you pray? How often do you fight? Well, listen, you fight as long as your enemy's going to fight, right? Isn't that what it means to win the battle? To be the one who's doing the last of the fighting? So I'll tell you what, how about this? You keep praying for the missionaries until the devil stops doing his work. All right, you do it then. Or how about this? You keep praying for the missionaries until the world system in which we live in is no longer a problem. Keep praying until that. Or how about this? Keep praying for your missionaries until the flesh that we live with is no longer a problem for us. Friends, once we no longer have problems from the world, the flesh, and the devil, that's when we can stop praying. Up until then, be praying all the time. Not only pray all the time, but if you notice, verse 18 uses another interesting phrase that I really like. He says that we should be praying with all prayer. Did you see that in verse 18? Praying always with all prayer. What does that mean, all prayer? Well, you know, there's a lot of different environments and a lot of different kinds of ways you can pray. All kinds of prayer. Use it all. Prayer in private. Prayer in public. Church prayer. Closet prayer. Family prayer. Spoken prayer. Wordless prayer. Kneeling prayer. Closed eyes prayer. Open eyes prayer. Use the open eyes prayer when you're driving. Use that one. Pray when you're driving, pray when you're walking, pray when you're sitting, pray with the poetic words, pray with groaning words. Don't worry about being eloquent in prayer. There's so many people who are hindered in their prayer life, either privately or publicly, because they're worried about how they sound. Do you know how beautiful it is to God when somebody just speaks honestly before the Lord? Matter of fact, have you ever experienced this? Where somebody is brand new to Christ and maybe their language habits haven't been redeemed by the Lord yet, and you're praying with them, and they're just swearing in prayer before God. And you think, well, they're a young believer, their habits aren't yet changed. And you know what? There's something wonderfully refreshing about just an honest pouring out of the heart before God. That's what God looks for in prayer, not eloquence. But prayer, and to pray with all kinds of prayer. Brief prayers are good. Now look, I hope you have extended times of prayer in your day and in your life, but don't be afraid of brief prayers. Don't be afraid of general prayers. Don't be afraid of what Paul mentioned more than four times, making mention in prayer. My wife and I, when we pray for other people, we often do that. We'll pray for some people in greater depth. Other people, we will just make mention of them in prayer. That's good and honorable before God. But there's another aspect that he points out here in verse 18. Look at it there. He talked about praying all the time. He talked about praying with all prayer. But then in the middle of the verse, he talks about praying with all perseverance. Pray with perseverance. That means not giving up in prayer. If Satan can get us to be discouraged in prayer, then it doesn't matter how tough someone might look in the armor of God. He knows that that person won't fight. The key to perseverance in prayer is simply to keep praying. And the missionaries who count on you for prayer support, they want you to keep praying. I'll share with you a little fear that missionaries have. They think, yes, you'll go out from this service and you'll be all charged up for them and you'll pray for them for 1 week. And then come around, you know, January 9th next week, well, you're forgotten. I know one missionary in Poland. He does a great thing in his newsletter. He tries to keep people praying for them. And they're missionaries in Poland, and apparently they eat a lot of potatoes in Poland. So they have the potato prayer promise, where they want people to say, you pray for us and our work in Poland every time you eat a potato. Well, that's a great idea, isn't it? Something like that just reminds you to pray for people, and that's why out on the tables out there, there's bookmarks that we give you, right? There's prayer cards. There's little things that people can give you just to be a reminder for you for prayer. That's praying with all perseverance. But there's another aspect to it in the verse 18 that I don't want to ignore. He also talks about supplication. Did you notice he mentions it twice? Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he goes on, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Well, what is supplication? Supplication is prayer that asks for something. That you actually ask God to do something. Now, not all of prayer is asking God to do something, but supplication is saying, God, I ask you to do this, and it's good for you to pray in that way for our missionaries. But a lot of times people wonder, well, what do I pray? What should I pray for missionaries? I don't know what to pray. I don't know what their needs are. Well, oftentimes you can find out very easily. You can go to their internet site. You can go to their Facebook page. You could go to their blog. You could send them an email. It's not hard to get prayer requests from missionaries very often. But listen, even if you don't know what else to pray, you can pray for them generally after patterns presented to us in the New Testament. And again, I'm thinking specifically of that great missionary of the first century, the Apostle Paul. Just pray for them what Paul wanted prayed for himself. Did you know that repeatedly in the New Testament, Paul asked for prayer? All the time he's asking for it. Well, what Paul wanted in prayer, why don't you pray that for these? Well, let's go through some of those verses real quick. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32. This is what Paul writes. He says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable for the saints, and that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. You see a great prayer you can pray for a missionary from that? Oh Lord, make their service acceptable unto you, Lord. Make it acceptable unto the people that they serve. Take their service, Lord, and make it acceptable. That's a great prayer that you can pray for our missionaries. Or how about this? We just saw it here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, where he says in verse 19 in particular, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what Paul wanted people to pray for him. So why don't we pray that for our missionaries? Lord, give them bold, effective words, Lord. Bless our missionaries with that. Or how about this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19? It says this, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we can pray for our missionaries. Lord, turn it to their deliverance. Make it good for them, Lord. Bless them with that. Or we can pray based on Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. This is what that verse says. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Do you see what Paul's saying? He's saying, pray for us that God would open up doors of ministry and doors for the word. And that's what we can pray for our missionaries. Oh, Lord, open a door for your word through them and for them, Lord. Or I like this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is maybe one of the best prayer requests Paul ever gave to the people. You know what he just simply said? 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Don't you like that? Just general. Listen, if you know specifics, pray for them. Pray according to these scriptural patterns. But listen, it's better just to pray a prayer. Lord, bless them. Bless the Allnuts in London. Bless the Johnson and Rosarita. Bless this missionary over. Bless that missionary over there. Bless them, Lord. Or finally, we can take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says this. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Do you see that prayer? Oh, Lord, set your word free in them and through them. Deliver them from unreasonable and wicked men. God, do your work. And all of these things, just take what Paul wanted prayed for him and pray that for the missionaries that we have. Matter of fact, this is something very healthy that Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where he says at the end of verse 18, and pray for all the saints. Now listen, I hope that every one of you has a more blessed and more prosperous and more intense prayer life in 2011 than you had in 2010. And part of that blessing of a better prayer life will be that you pray for your own needs more effectively. And can I tell you, God wants you to pray for your needs. God wants you to cast your cares upon Him. Don't feel bad about praying for your needs. But you should feel bad about only praying for your needs. And that's what I want to say. Don't just pray for yourself, but pray for all the saints. And sometimes we can do that in prayer. We get self-focused. We only get concerned about my battle, my problems, my difficulties, my fears, my hopes. Well, Paul says, no, pray for your things, but also you make sure to pray for all the saints. I like what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14. He says this, none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. We're all connected together in the body of Christ. And friends, those people who especially need that connection and that prayer connection are our missionaries. So friends, if this mighty apostle Paul, this great apostle, this great preacher, this pastor and evangelist, if he asked and knew that he needed prayer, so do our missionaries. But let me say one more thing about prayer. As you pray for them, pray in the Spirit. Did you see what he says right there in verse 18? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see, it's through the Spirit of God that we have access. That it says this, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And it reminds us what the vital element of prayer really is. the vital, essential element of prayer. It's not kneeling. It's not standing. It's not sitting. It's not having your eyes opened or closed. It's not praying audibly or inaudibly. It's not having your hands folded or set in the classic prayer position or hands raised up high. None of those things are the most vital aspects of prayer. The vital element of prayer is praying in the Spirit. I think about the Pharisees in New Testament times, right? They prayed a lot, but they didn't pray in the Spirit. What do we mean by praying in the Spirit? Well, let me say this. Being carried away in your emotions is not necessarily praying in the Spirit. No, instead, praying in the Spirit is prayer that recognizes the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'll recognize those three things as you pray, the person of the Holy Spirit, His presence, and His power, you will pray in the Spirit. And through all of that, you can do a tremendous work on the mission field by prayer. And listen, I'll say it again. We need to be a sending church. And look around you. Look at the flags. Look at the placards on the wall. Look at the signs. Look at the missions tables out there. We are indeed a sending church, and I'm very happy about that. But listen, we need to be a going church as well. And maybe there's some people here, you should be going. You should go for short term, you should go for long term. We need to be a sending church, we need to be a going church, we need to be a supporting church financially. Oh, we do this collectively as a church out of our missions budget. But many of you people, you should be thinking, okay, this is the year that above my normal giving, I'm going to support this missionary or that missionary with a little bit more. That's a glorious thing to do. Every one of us can be involved on the foreign field by prayer. Not all can directly send. Not everybody can go. There's some people, for whatever reason, they can't support financially. But the great thing about it is everybody here can pray. Everybody can. Every one of us can be effective on the foreign field by prayer. I remember the great story from the life of Hudson Taylor. You ever hear of Hudson Taylor? Groundbreaking missionary to China in the 19th century. He did things that people weren't doing, and he opened up a continent for Jesus Christ. Well, Hudson Taylor was an unstoppable servant of the Lord all through his life, for decades and decades, but at the very end of his life, he was sick, he was infirmed, and he was confined to a bed. And I can think in some ways there'd be nothing more frustrating for such a man of action and vitality than that, than to be trapped in a bed. But you know what he did? He had across the post of his bed a great big map of China stretched out. And so he could lay in his bed, and even without moving a muscle, he could look up at these different areas of China. And what he did was he labored in bed in prayer for those missionaries and for those places in China. And I just think of that man who did such an amazing work of God, continuing to be so effective in prayer, even though all he could do was pray. It was maybe some of the most valuable work he ever did for the God's cause in China. Friends, every one of us can pray. We can do this. And so we need to rededicate ourselves all over again to say, this is a year where I want to remember and I want to persevere in prayer for our missionaries. Now, before we leave this subject, let's have another missionary come up and talk to us about what God has done in their lives through prayer. And this is a missionary kind of special to me. It's my daughter, Aunt Sophie, who serves the Lord in Cork, Ireland. All right, baby.
I have a little slideshow that's going to play that shows my main ministry is Owen Neglia, the little boy there. But first off, let me just say thank you to each one of you and to the church as a whole for all your prayers and love over the last year. I've been in Cork, Ireland since October of 2009, and I can truly say that God is moving. The church is growing, my job is expanding, and my joy there is so, so great. And all this is largely due to prayer. It started when I prayed over a year ago for an opportunity to serve alongside a pastor and his family in Europe and to do that with my life. And God led me to Ireland, to Mike and Rachel Neglia in Cork, which is in southwest of Ireland. I do a lot of the typical church helps. I do the bulletin, the accounting, Sunday school, cleaning and shopping and all that. But one of my main ministries is this little boy, Owen, the Neglia's 5-year-old autistic son. I do therapies with him 4 days a week in addition to other child minding and helps. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. With this promise, I prepare to go to Ireland having no formal or prior experience with special needs kids. But I knew that God was calling me to this task, so I knew that he would equip me and give me the ability to perform what he was giving me to do. So I prayed, and I asked others to pray that Owen would like me, pray that I would be a true help to Mike and Rachel and not a burden, and that God would give me insights to help Owen grow and learn and develop. And you know what? God answered each and every one of those prayers. People all over the world lifted up this precious little boy and his family and myself, and God heard their voices. Over the last year, by the grace of God and consistent therapy that people and research were able to help me do, Owen is now able to put on his own socks and shoes. He can hold a pen and draw lines and shapes. He can do a puzzle and play memory games. He can brush his own teeth. He can jump with both feet. He's learning how to pedal a bike and so many other things that were nearly impossible before. God gave me insights on how to teach and help Owen things that we hadn't realized were hindrances or problems that came to light through the consistent therapy I was able to give. And God gave me patience that I never knew I had to sit with him for 20 minutes while he learned to put on one shoe. And Owen loves me so much. Next to his parents, I'm proud to say I'm his favorite person. And I do therapies with him nearly every day. And that frees up Mike and Rachel Neglia to just be parents to him, to be a mom and dad, and not worry that the time that they're spending playing and being a family could be used in therapy because he's had it already for hours that day. I ask of you today that you would pray for and give thanks to God for those that stand in the gap for you between you and other nations and the missionaries in those nations. In 1 Timothy chapter 12, Paul says, I urge you, therefore, with prayers and supplications, intercessions and thanksgivings to be made for all people. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. You can stand with these servants in all these countries in the presence of God and lift up these nations and these peoples and these missionaries. For a single little boy, or for a whole orphanage, for a home Bible study or a church plant, for a missionary or a whole community, you can stand before God in prayer and just pray. It works. This little boy is testimony that prayer works. And if you want to hear more about Owen and Ireland, please come visit me at my table in the back there. I have lucky little Irish pennies that you can take home. And it's not like eating potatoes, but you can keep it on your dresser or in your pocket. And just remember to pray for me and to pray for Owen. So thank you very much.
Isn't she great? She takes after her mother. She really does. All right. We're going to do something radical. You know what we're going to do? We're not just going to talk about praying for our missionaries. We're actually going to pray for them. Okay, but first, here we're going to do. First, we're going to show you a video of the missionaries that this church supports. And I think you're going to be blown away. You're going to be blown away by seeing all the different missionaries and all the different work that they do in all the different places. So we want you to look at those and think of some missionaries to pray for. You got a bookmark or something like that on your way in? Well, later on, if you need one of those, you raise your hand, an usher will bring you one. Prayer card, bookmark, something on the video. When the video's finished, we want you to pray. You can get together with two or three people around you, in front of you, behind you. Pray together. If that feels awkward to you, then just pray by yourself. That's fine. Then just pick a name and pray by yourself. But pray for our missionaries. We'll pray together for our missionaries. We'll do that just as small groups or as individuals all around here, just to get the pump primed, so to speak, because we want to pray for our missionaries. So we're going to show that video, and then immediately after that, let's just begin to pray for a while, and then we'll come back together for worship. You ready?